Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. We continue our new book series, 2022 Debuts, with a book about long-term friendships. Many of us can name at least one childhood friend we remember growing up. Maybe you met on the playground at school, or your parents were friends, or just another kid from the neighborhood. A best friend plays an important role in life. But do you know where your best friend is now, or did you lose touch? First-time author Jean Chin Ho's book, Fiona and Jane, is a story about two Taiwanese-American women as they navigate friendship, sexuality, and identity throughout 30 years of their lives, from Taiwan to Southern California to New York City. Life happens in Fiona and Jane as the pair's journey unfolds. Take this first paragraph from a chapter called Go Slow. It reads, "The year we turned 16, Fiona decided it was time we learned to drink. We drove to the Norwalk swap meet and laid out $50 each for fake IDs from a passport photo, faxing, and color copy stall. A family-owned business and the girl we paid off had graduated from our high school a year back. When she handed us the finished IDs, we knew right away we'd been scammed. They were flimsy laminated jobs, no better than Blockbuster membership cards, overexposed photos of our unsmiling faces glued onto a rectangle of white paper with California identification card typed across the top. Our names and birthdays below, minus those crucial 5 years to age us up to 21. We were too embarrassed to demand our money back. Still, we were eager to test them out." Their stories read so real as they grapple with each life crisis, heartbreak, realization, and the times they drift apart. Alisa Chang from NPR's All Things Considered says, "Fiona and Jane captures the textures of female friendship and all the intensity, loyalty, and occasional torment of it." Jean Chin Ho was born in Taiwan and grew up in Southern California and is now a doctoral candidate in literature and creative writing at USC, where she is a Dorn's Life Fellow in Fiction. Jean, welcome to the show.
Hey, Allison. Thanks for having me.
So the novel, when we get very specific, is about two Taiwanese-American women from L.A. So those are specifics. But the story has such universal appeal and what it takes to have long-lasting friendships. NPR said it was a life-size story about true friendship. How does this novel capture the ebbs and flows of friendship?
Well, the book spans 20 years of these women's lives. And as you said in your intro, which was so lovely, thank you, we all have, you know, at least one friend we could think of from childhood. But it's pretty rare, I think, to have somebody who's been in your life since the second grade. And I wanted to explore that dynamic of having a friend you've known from childhood who you were so close to that you were almost twins, and then growing up, sort of falling apart, and then coming back together in your 30s as adults and really figuring out how to be friends again.
Where is Jane in her life when we meet her?
Well, Jane, we meet her at lots of different
At
the beginning, she's a high school senior. Mm-hmm. She's 18 years old, about to graduate high school. And she's an only child. And her father has left the family a couple years ago. And it's kind of ambiguous. He told her that he was leaving for a job in Taiwan. And mm-hmm. she and her mom live in L.A. So she's going through, you know, her own growing pains. She's figuring out her sexuality. She has a crush on her piano teacher, who's a woman. And she's also trying to figure out what's really going on with her parents.
Right. Her father has been living two lives, we'll say. We'll let people read and learn more. How are we first mm-hmm. introduced to Fiona?
Fiona comes, she has a second story in the book. And at this point, I have her in college. So she's mm-hmm. about 21 or 22. But the story flashes back to when Fiona was a young child in Taiwan, where she was born. She's 6 years old and she has a single mother. And that story, when we get introduced to Fiona, is all about her father's, the mystery of who her father is and her relationship to her grandparents and why her grandmother has always looked down on her mother.
Yeah, Jane has a different relationship with her mother than Fiona does. How is Fiona's life at home similar to and or different from Jane's?
Well, Fiona and her mom are really close because, they grew up without a man in their lives, right? And that's what we discover in the story when we meet her. So it's really just the two of them. And in some ways, they're almost codependent on one another. And Jane, on the other hand, has always been really close to her father. So she was really devastated when he moved to Taiwan. And she's always had a very contentious relationship with her mother, who was very demanding, critical, very religious, and, always wanted Jane to be a certain way. And in a funny way, the two girls, when they're young, kind of envy each other and the relationship the other one has with their mothers. Because, I don't know, the grass is always greener on the other side, right?
And the beginning of that chapter that I read, chapter 3, Go Slow, you know, we experience more of these two characters together. What is at the basis of their friendship at this point? What's their friendship like?
Well, they're so close. They've been friends since second grade. But Fiona, I think, is the one who is the leader in the friendship. Mm-hmm. So she's really smart. She's ambitious. She's the type of girl who, you know, has always hustled and worked part-time jobs after school. She takes care of her younger brother and she saved up money, you know, from her part-time jobs and bought herself a car when she was 16. Jane, on the other hand, you know, she gets teased kind of because she's really tall. She gets teased as quote unquote Fiona's bodyguard because she's kind of, the follower and the friendship. But in the story from which you read, readers will find this is a moment when Jane comes to find out she can really be her own person and make her own choices and not always have to follow what Fiona's trying to do, like getting the fake IDs and learning how to drink. Jane learns that she can assert herself. And this might be one of the first times she does that.
Yeah, in this chapter, you write, Fiona was the pretty one. That much I accepted. This is from Jane's point of view. She got her period first and went up a bra size from 7th to 8th grade. Freshman year, she started growing her hair out, and now it was almost down to her waist. Her features were pronounced and striking. More than once, some old weirdo on the 3rd Street Promenade had approached to ask if she was interested in modeling. I can picture that. But maybe my face would be considered pleasing, too. My eyes, though small, were very symmetrical. My nose didn't come right out and announce itself, but it was a fine enough nose, straight and unassuming. All those times, Ma reminded me to pinch the bridge while I was watching TV. Who know if it made a difference? Whereas Fiona was outgoing and friendly to almost everyone, I cultivated mystery. It was hard to stay invisible, though. After I grew 3 inches last year, I knew people called me Fiona's bodyguard behind my back. Whatever. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. When do we see conflict between these two? What are the points of conflict?
Oh my gosh, I had so much fun, Allison, writing all the ridiculous, silly fights these women had. And one of the things I wanted to really get into with this book is the intimacy between female friendships and how I feel like there's sometimes so much more at stake with your best friend than there could be in other relationships, romantic relationships in your life, right? So, one of the conflicts that kind of doesn't get spoken about between them is the fact that Fiona, being so outgoing and driven, has always wanted to leave Southern California. So, you know, she went away to college and then immediately after she moved to New York because she just wanted to expand her world. Jane, on the other hand, did not go to college. She sort of said, oh, I'm taking a gap year. And then that turned into 2 to 3. And mm-hmm. then she was taking classes at community college, but still living at home. So in her 20s, she was really drifting about. And one of the points of conflict that starts sort of their estrangement is that Jane never understood why Fiona didn't move back to SoCal after college. And she was really disappointed by that. That was a moment when Jane was going through a lot of turmoil with her father, who she was estranged from, because her father had been suffering in his mental health. And actually, as we come to find out, I don't think this is a spoiler, but I can say that he took his own life. And for Jane, that was a huge loss. She's grieving at the same time that she's really in denial of that. And so she needed Fiona. She needed her best friend. And she's really upset that her best friend just sort of left her at a moment when she was so needed emotional support. So that's one of the first big fights that they have, which they never talk about.
The name of the book is Fiona and Jane. I'm speaking with this author, Jean Chin Ho. She's part of our 2002 debuts series. So, you know, it's interesting, and people probably picked this up already. Fiona and Jane alternates between stories focusing on one or two of the women, various stages of their lives, sometimes focuses on their families. Why did you choose this structure?
Well, I have to tell you, to be quite honest, I didn't plan it out this way. I wish I could say like, oh, I have this huge outline, but it came sort of organically because when I first started writing, I wrote a Jane story. So all the Jane stories in this book are written in first person from her point of view. And then all the Fiona stories are written in third person. So the first story I wrote was from Jane's point of view. And when I had finished that story, I felt like I wasn't quite done with this world yet. And then I started writing a Fiona story because I wanted to know who she was and what she was about. And I just started building the book from there.
What did you mine from your own friendships that really informed Fiona and Jane?
Oh my gosh. Well, none of the things that happened to Fiona and Jane are autobiographical. So, you know, I didn't mine my particular life experiences and put them in the book out of respect to my oldest and dearest friends. But I definitely mined some of the emotional terrain that I had gone through with my oldest friends, you know, sort of those betrayals of, you know, leaving one another and betraying one another for a man, or thinking what is a betrayal, but the other one doesn't see it that way. And then coming back together and really forgiving each other and seeing your friends as family. I definitely put all of that in the book.
The character sexuality become a big focus of the novel. How is this a part of their identity explored throughout the stories told?
Yeah. So Jane is bisexual or pansexual. And Fiona is a straight woman. And I wanted to just sort of let that be between them. They never have a big discussion about it. You know, Jane doesn't have a big coming out moment in the book. And of course, there's lots of other queer characters in the book or people who are along that spectrum. And for me, that wasn't something that I deliberately felt like, oh, I have to add this in there with some kind of agenda. Again, it just sort of came naturally because that's the kind of world that I live in and we all live in.
I'm curious about when you actually started writing this book, since the series is about people's debuts. I know we have a lot of people who are writers and have a book in them and would love some inspiration on how to get it across the finish line. When did you start writing it and how did it come to be in the shape that it is today?
I started writing it about 5 years ago. So I feel like 5 years probably sounds like a really long time, but I wasn't working on it, you know, 24/7. So I would say 5 years off and on. I had lots of wonderful friends who were first readers who gave me lots of feedback. And then I sent it to my agents who also gave me notes. And in the last couple of years in the pandemic, I have worked on this with my editor at Viking. So there's been lots of rewriting, lots of revision. So for anybody who wants to cross the finish line, just know that you have to read your manuscript 100 times.
I'm curious, how you said 100 times, how many manuscripts did you end up writing for Fiona and Jane?
Each of these stories or chapters, I probably rewrote, gosh, like 20, 25 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And some of them in their final versions are really different from the first draft, like completely different. But you know what? Like those first drafts aren't a waste of time. I had to write those to get to where the final versions were, because I had to get to know the characters that way. So that's just the way it goes with writing.
What is something someone has said to you about your book that's made you feel like you were successful? It's a success to write anything and get it published, period, but that you knew that you had accomplished what you'd hoped to.
Oh my gosh. I've been so lucky to have many authors I admire blurb my book. It's just been a dream. But one thing that I really loved is that the writer and the novelist Lisa Coe said that Fiona and Jane is a love letter to Asian American women's friendships in all its most beautiful and heartbreaking iterations. And that just, when I saw that, it really just moved me so much. And I cried, because that really captured what I was trying to do. Mm.
The name of the book is Fiona and Jane. We were really happy to have it be part of our 2022 debut series. Congratulations on your book, Jean.
Thank you, Allison. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Jean Chin Ho. The name of her book is Fiona and Jane. And that is all of it for this hour. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you back here after the news.